I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. All right. I want to welcome today. My guests are Arlene Espinosa-Armijo and Jesse Armijo. They are the social media kind of leaders of the Dukes Track Club. And welcome, guys.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. My first question is, how did you guys get involved with the Dukes Track Club?
Oh, so it's a pretty long story, I guess. It dates back to 2008, and it even goes back a little bit further than that, but that's when the team was founded.
You've got a founding father with you here.
Yeah.
And I did actually find an article about that on, I forget what it's called, but there you guys have a little blog spot, and so I had read that article, but I kind of wanted to hear it from the man himself.
Yeah, it just started when a teammate of mine from college moved to New Mexico and he wanted to keep training post-collegiately. So him and his coach, Henry Rono, were just training here, and he would come back to California to race. And that's where I was living at the time, back in like after college till 2008. So he would come back and we would race against each other. And since I got a little better after college, he thought it was pretty neat that I kept training as well. And so he said, why don't we train together? You should come move to Albuquerque and we'll start a team. I kind of had my sights set on like Flagstaff or Boulder or like somewhere kind of elitist and cool, but I had no idea that Albuquerque was at altitude. So once he mentioned that, it made more sense. And I wanted to go to grad school as well. So University of New Mexico was the cheapest out of all those schools, and so it just made a lot more sense. So I came out here, and then him and myself, another buddy named Dana, Dana Patton.
And Chris Houghton was the other guy. Yeah.
Chris Houghton was my college teammate. We started chatting with some of the guys that worked at Heart and Soul, and I also got a job at Heart and Soul, so we were all kind of collaborating on making a team. And after one night, we usually do like a Waffle Wednesday run on Thursday, if that makes any sense. But yeah, after that Thursday night, we did like a little tough workout over at UNM on Johnson Field. We just went over to one of the guys' houses, and then we all like, there's like eight of us just sitting around trying to come up with a name, kind of come up with like a mission statement, an idea, why we're passionate about creating a club and how it can like draw in and bring in all the talent that Albuquerque and New Mexico has to offer. And so we're thinking like New Mexico Track Club or like Albuquerque Track Club, something with Track Club, because Track Club is so iconic to like the 70s and the running boom of Oregon Track Club, Florida Track Club. And so we wanted to tie that in as well, but we couldn't find that first name. And so one of the guys, his name's Teo Cutter, he went to Occidental College. He was a D3 post-collegiate runner from Oxy, and so he was like, well, Albuquerque is also known as the Duke City, what do we call it? The Dukes Track Club. And we're all like, all in unison, everyone's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And so we're like, yeah, we'll use that. Dukes Track Club sounds like a good idea. That night, we all left like with high hopes, and we're like, "This is a great idea." I dropped off my buddy Chris Houghton at his house, told him I'd come Friday morning, pick him up early. We'll go do a quick run before, you know, we start our day. And so I go to his house and to grab him. And, the next day, Friday morning, and he's like, he's already up. The whole like kitchen table is like filled with all these little like scrap pieces of paper. He's been drawing out our logo, and hopefully.
And Chris is a lawyer and like full of passion.
Yeah.
And is a lunatic in the most wonderful ways possible. Like, we are so lucky to know him.
He pretty much embodies Prefontaine, but yeah. He is our legal eagle on the team. And so I stroll into his house quietly because at the time, no, he didn't have a kid at the time. So I stroll into the house, him, his wife's still asleep or getting ready to go to work. And yeah, just the kitchen table is just littered with just scrap pieces of paper with like drawings on it. And he has the shield drawing, which is our logo.
Right here.
It's a shield. The crest is what we wanted it to be. And then he drew the conquistador helmet in it. And then he wrote Dukes out in like this old English with like the sword, the hilt of it being the D and like the sword going through the helmet. And he just has this written there. And he's like, I've been working on this since like who knows when. I could only imagine. And I'm like, all right, let's go. He's like, well, once we have a logo, like we do have a name. The name's great. Tons of clubs in Albuquerque and tons of post-collegiate clubs in Albuquerque have had names, but they just come and go. But once we get a logo, we'll really get people behind it. So we had a name and a logo, and we got it screened that like night.
Well, his sister-in-law was a graphic designer, so she...
Yeah, she just scanned it, and then we kept telling her more things. We're like, hey, on the logo, we want wings on it. And she's like, okay, I can do that. And then like on the bottom, see this little like banner? We want our motto, which is like in Latin in it. And like another buddy of ours on the team who's a history major, him and I were like, yeah, it has to be a Latin logo. And we both like came up with, we're like, it has to have victory in it. So like Victoria for sure. And then he looked up, he's like, how about this, you guys? Victoria Fidelis Amat. And we're all like quiet and pausing, like, well, what does that mean? We're like, we like it. He's like, victory loves the faithful. And we're like, oh yeah, we love it. Yes, we're like, if you're faithful to running, then you're gonna find that you're successful no matter what. So.
And a funny like kind of caveat to that is that every time that someone writes the Dukes and is new to town and we respond, they see the tagline and they think that whoever's responding is Victoria. So oftentimes when people email us, they think they're conversing with a woman named Victoria.
Yeah, well, it's just our motto.
It's just the motto.
So we had this whole package, all these ideas, and we got a logo and we screened it on one jersey. And this was in the fall of 2008, so October, I believe, or November, I'm not sure. But yeah, we put it all together, got one jersey out.
It was October.
Yeah. And we had one singlet.
One. Yeah. Orange.
No, it was a white. Orange? It was a white singlet.
White and red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our first, the first person to wear it was Dana. He went out to Tucson Marathon in December to run the marathon there. And yeah, he did us proud. He ran a PR. And then the team, we got a team together to do an official USATF, US Cross Country Championships in Baltimore that February. And so as a team, we got second behind, I think Oregon Track Club.
So that's the inception.
The inception of the team. 2009, it was official. 2008 is when it was created, but like with USATF and like the umbrella of our governing body, it started in 2009. Mm-hmm. And then the team raced officially in 2009.
You just had your 10-year anniversary then last year.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, the 10-year. We had a big party with one of our team sponsors, High and Dry Brewery. We brewed a beer with them that was called Running Jorts.
Yeah.
And a portion of the proceeds for each of those beers went into kind of a scholarship fund that the team created. And we actually gifted that scholarship to an athlete here in town, Russell White, who is the jiu-jitsu world champion and a fellow Lululemon ambassador with me, to him so he could use towards one of his fights. So we always have kind of a little reserve fund available for local athletes that are in need of some additional support to kind of chase big dreams. And that's spans across, you know, high school runners all the way up to, you know, collegiate runners and beyond.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that you had that scholarship out there to help people. You know, a lot of the things I've seen on your social media have been about not just promoting yourselves, but promoting other people in the town and New Mexico. And I think that's just a really cool thing.
Yeah, we try to tie it back into the mission. So way back when we did form it, yeah, the mission was just to inspire like I'm kind of paraphrasing because I can pull it up, but it's basically just inspire like the community of Albuquerque and beyond with, through running, and hopefully support like post-collegiate or elite, as well as community runners and then and youth runners. So
yeah,
that all ties back to what we try to do.
Yeah, and my like kind of mindset from the perspective of how we kind of navigate the team is that, you know, running can be a very selfish sport and very kind of isolating at times, but at the same time, like all that we do is within our community. So for me, it's important that like the relationships that we have in the community are reciprocal. So if we're going to ask the community to support us in this way, that we need to show up for the community in other ways as well. So everything that we do on a regular basis always comes back to community, because the very word community has the word unity in it. As a collective and as a run family, we know that we're stronger and we're better when we're together. So that's really kind of the guiding compass that we use when it comes to making decisions for the team. It's about, does this impact the greater good? And is this going to make a positive impact that we can all be really proud of when we walk away from what we're doing? So from, you know, our canned food drives to our blessing bags around Christmas that we do as a team, from our all the different things that we do. It's all rooted in community, because we would not be a team if we didn't have the community.
I think that's a great way to look at things. And I love, you know, what you said about a running family, because I think you're right. A lot of the running community can be so disjointed and kind of on their own. And when you bring it all together, I mean, everybody, you go out on a trail, obviously not now, but you go out on a trail and you're looking at people and you're waving and you're giving that nod and just that little encouragement, and to grow that into a bigger idea of not only just the other runners, but the community as a whole. I think that's a great thing you guys are doing.
We're trying.
Yeah,
we're trying. I mean, the best that we can do is lead by example.
Exactly. You know, Jesse, when you guys first started this, I don't think that Albuquerque had any other track clubs or really running clubs at the time. How surprised were you by that?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised, and so was Chris when he had this vision, because he was training with his coach, Henry Rono, and so there were lots of international athletes, a lot of Eritreans, Kenyans, Moroccans, and South Korean, and so it was pretty international based, and but nothing was kind of unified. And then until recently, I guess the last like 8 years or so, other groups, other professional American groups have come just to train here and to leave, but nothing established here. And so that's why he suggested and really encouraged that we get on this quick and start a team, especially since we were in our prime with running ourselves. And so just keep like chasing the dream of having an established group here. It was very surprising, but once we formed it, like through the USATF, it seemed to kind of solidify, and like we get a few other athletes joining, and the other African groups as well would kind of jump in and do some workouts with us. And we collaborated a little bit with the UNM athletes and with Joe. He let us hop in a few workouts here and there. But that was like the very beginning of this. So it was very surprising that no official group has been here.
Continues to be super supportive of us too by allowing us to run the collegiate races here in town.
Yeah, it's interesting because you were mentioning earlier, Jesse, that you know, like you said, you were looking at Flagstaff and Boulder, kind of the bigger places. But I think Albuquerque has a lot to offer that those places offer as well.
It does. Mm-hmm. It has. Yeah, I mean the climate is perfect. It's mild. It's at altitude. You can get to a little bit higher than 5,000. So I know a lot of athletes really want to be like training at 7,000 feet, especially for marathon specific athletes. But it has a good mix for mid distance 5K, 10K athletes as well. But Yeah, it's just a different community for sure. So,
Yeah, and the cost of living, which is the most important thing for runners, I
yeah.
think it's a missed opportunity. But
And an airport. Airport's good, so that way you can travel out. So, Flagstaff, you do have to travel down to Phoenix. Boulder, you got an hour drive to get to Denver. But here, it's so everything is just all right there at your fingertips. And international groups seem to see that, but domestically, it's very hard to kind of retain a unified group of athletes, especially at like an elite level.
I mean, except for the Brooksbys are here every year.
Yes. Yeah.
They're one of the exceptions.
Groups know to come here and train because of how great it is, but it's interesting that the athletes currently here aren't quite like unified. Which is why we offer that as the Dukes Track Club.
And how did you get involved, Arlene, with the Dukes?
Yeah, so
I didn't.
I trained for my first marathon, which was wonderful. What was it? The LA Marathon. Oh my gosh, it was the year that it rained and hailed the entire time, and it was like the most ludicrous thing I've ever done. And that was great. And then I was like, okay, I can do that. I'm gonna do another one. So I did my second marathon, CIM, which was 2011, and I bonked so hard. Like I was in good shape and I bonked hard. Like my body ran parallel to my brain the second half of the race. I stole candy from a small child on the side, like just like, and it was like not a, very, very shining moment for me. But when I finished the race, I was like, okay, like there has to be a better way to go about this. I'm not doing this the right way. I clearly can be better at this if I had a little bit of guidance. So that evening after the race, I got on Facebook and was like, or I got on online
The
the results
results.
page, and I looked at, I like just started skimming through like who ran this race today and who clearly has it figured out. Well, right at the top of the list in the top 10, sixth place was Jesse Armijo, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he qualified for the Olympic trials there. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. He lives in Albuquerque. He clearly has the marathon figured out. I'm going to make him be my coach. So that night, I get onto Facebook because, super easy to stalk someone, creepy me. And I type in his name and I see him and I'm like, okay, he's not bad looking either. All right, send him a message. Hey, you have this figured out. Oh, by the way, congratulations. Can you coach me? When will you be back in Albuquerque? Because this is clearly all about me. And he accepted a random message from a stranger and accepted my friend request and was like, yeah, I'll help you. Sure, we'll figure this out. And so it took a little bit of time until it wasn't until maybe after the trials that we finally met in person and we talked about training. And it was one night at El Vicino talking about running that turned into the rest of my life. Yeah, so after that, when I started running with the team, there was really only like one other female on the team. Lauren Patton, Dana's wife, was running pretty regularly on the team. There wasn't a very big women's presence on the team. And then my best friend, a transplant, Liz Turner, moved into town and started running with the guys. She's a force, and super fast. She started showing up, and her between her and I, we kind of started bringing more women, I think, into the fold. And she smoked me, and all I knew that I had to do if I wanted to get better was just keep my eyes laser focused on that blonde ponytail, and she would come closer to me. She made me better. I got better. More women started to come because there was more of a presence of us. And we've just really continued to cultivate this environment of, a family, but also of just like women empowering women on the girl side of it all. I mean, we have a text thread of the Lady Dukes that is about 50 people deep, and we talk about everything on there from motherhood to, to training to like, I don't know, sports bras. I don't, everything that you can talk about. So once Jesse and I started dating, I kind of started to take a more of a front row seat and, navigating the team and taking over the schedule and creating more opportunities for us to connect beyond just our weekly runs.
Yeah, the team was pretty ragtag before Arlene showed up. Just the weekly meetup, we just meet, we run, and that's kind of it.
No frills. And then I came and I'm like, we need a Friendsgiving. We need a white elephant for Christmas. We need food drives.
So, Arlene, you were kind of the driving force of turning into almost more of than just a running club.
I mean, I think I have a lot of ideas, and then I have an incredible network of people surrounding me that are like, let's do it. So it is never me and myself alone doing it. It is always a lot of people who are willing to say, okay, Arlene, what are we going to do this week? But yeah, it's been pretty cool.
You know, you've said a lot, like family and unity, community, and everybody together. You know, so what does it mean to be part of the Dukes?
You have to be a lifer.
No, what it means.
You can kind of see it.
Yeah, I think what it means is just, I mean, just show up as you are. I think for us, anytime that we have a conversation with people in the community, because there's this like elusive, like kind of like, how do I can't be part of the team because I'm not fast enough or I'm not this enough or I'm not whatever. But the reality of it is that you don't have to be fast enough for anything. You just have to show up for yourself, number one. So be willing to show up, be willing to like to support one another because we all have big goals and dreams we're aspiring to. And honestly, when we invest in each other, when our teammates arrive at their goals, it feels like we've arrived at a goal also. And you can ask a lot of the team, like Zach's first marathon, when he crossed the finish line, I was sobbing like he was my son. Like I get so invested in the goals. So if you're going to be part of the team, like know that I'm going to hug you longer than you want me to. You're going to have a network of people who love you and support you through it all. And that when you put the jersey on, this is like my only rule. And I tell everybody this, when you put the singlet on, just like hold yourself with integrity and respect for the people around you. Be proud of yourself and the team that you're representing and be a good, like, just have good sportsmanship out there. That's what it's about at the end of the day. Be a good person, run fast, and have fun.
So how does one become part of the team then?
How does one become part of the team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so I was just going to kind of get into the formalities of it. Again, that's where our ragtag roots still like survive. Is if you want to be on the team, you just buy a jersey.
Yeah. So yeah,
there's no memberships. When we first like envisioned the team, we were going to model it after many other clubs throughout the country, many other successful clubs like the Aggies out in the Bay Area, or from where I was at in San Diego, there's a lot of good thriving clubs like Moving Shoes and Twin Cities Track Club up in the Midwest and everywhere. So we kind of try to figure out what would kind of work best for Albuquerque and for New Mexico, and not having a membership fee was probably the best route. It's just, if you just purchased your own singlet, and that's a commitment in itself, showing that you're willing to not just put down the dollar for it, but say that you are a member of the team.
Yeah, you're part of the family. Yeah. I don't think, and I've always been of the mindset that like you shouldn't have to pay to have friends, and you shouldn't have to pay to be part of a family, like a group of people who love you. So we nixed that, and we've gone back and forth on that for many years now. And sure, there are probably a few more like resources or added value things that we could add to the team's portfolio if we did have a membership, but we're doing fine without those things. And we have incredible sponsors, Michael Thomas, High and Dry Brewery, you know, Blended Acai has been supporting us lately. We have Heart and Soul, which has been like from day one, and they employ half the team on any given, you know, summer. We don't feel that there's a need to do that. If there's something that the group wants as a collective, we come together and we make it happen. So yeah, no fee, just the purchasing of the singlet.
basically, if you're not against us.
If you're not against us, you're with us. And the thing is, so we've tried very hard over the years to make it consistent. However, we seem to pick a color that Brooks always discontinues shortly after. So you'll see variations of the singlet out there, but one thing that's always consistent is the logo. So you'll see teal, you'll see orange, you'll see white and red, you'll see... Now there's black and white with the Zia on the back.
Yeah, white's going to be our most consistent.
Yeah, white's the most consistent. But it's kind of fun when someone shows up to a race and they've got like their throwback singlet on, because it's like, whoa, you've been part of the team for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of the white ones, and that black one is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sharp. Yeah,
clean.
Yeah.
It's clean, yeah.
It's clean, and that Zia on the back is like a... like a little nod, like when you're in a race and you're passing somebody, it's like kind of a wink from New Mexico.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
a lot of pride.
Right, tons of pride. I could like explode.
You know, for someone looking to join the team and they're looking, okay, I just need to buy a singlet, but they're worried about there's that person who's way faster and you've got people who have qualified for the trials or they're already running marathons. What are the different abilities of the people you have on the team right now?
Yeah, the spectrum has been at the inception of the team, it's been small because the focus was post-collegiate and like elite, but then each year as the team has progressed, that spectrum has been open, and it's going to go from novice or beyond novice, like just like you are pregnant and you have a family, that kid is going to be on the Dukes no matter what. So it starts from youth all the way to masters and everything in between, from any ability, from beginner to expert to veteran.
Yeah. And one of our proudest teammates is actually Tim Harris, who has Down syndrome. So he's very proud of the fact that he is the only person on the team with a disability. And we're really proud of him because he perseveres, and the team really rallies around those, you know, kind of back of the pack runners. Because honestly, when you think about back of the pack runners, like, sure, any of us can go out there and run a speedy 5K. But when you think about the time commitment and just the overall time that a back of the pack runner has put into a training cycle and a race, compound what you have done by quite a bit, that person has put in an extensive amount of time. And that, in my opinion, is worth like the most praise and celebration when they cross that finish line. So I really believe that the team as like a whole, when we go out to those community races, sure, we celebrate the first person, but we're celebrating the last person to cross that finish line just as hard as we did the first person. So we really try to, you know, celebrate all the milestones, because someone at the back of the pack could be having a PR day, an epic race, when somebody who was at the front of the pack just ran a kind of race. So it's all about perspective. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all in this to get better and to chase goals together.
Like you keep on saying, you keep on talking to that family and unity, and everything just comes back to that, which is, I think, just amazing. And I can see why people would want to be a part of this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're fortunate. I mean, we don't have a lot of friends outside of the running group, and it's not because we don't want to, but it's just because we're so lucky. We have like an abundant like group of, we have a family. Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
Extended family.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I would say, to answer your question like more directly about how people could get involved on the team, what we tell them is shoot us an email at dukestrackclub@gmail.com, or follow us on Instagram at dukestrackclub and send us a message to just say, hey, include me on your weekly email, because we send out an email every Monday. Sometimes I have a problem with overcommitting myself. I mean, I know this may come as a shock to the world. So sometimes that email comes on Tuesday, but it eventually comes out. We also put all of our weekly run locations and things on our Facebook page. So you can also ask to be added to the Facebook page. And within the Facebook page, we also have a book club and all kinds of stuff that we do.
Once you get that email, you're basically in. You just need it's on their end to show up. And once they show up, hopefully they see they'll just thrive and be embraced by everyone.
Yeah.
And that kind of like, it weeds people in and out. Like some people that don't feel they fit in and they kind of want something different from the club, they'll find it somewhere else and they'll kind of trickle away. But those that are just thirsty for a unified family or and a good training group will keep coming and keep showing up. And it's really nice to see those that just keep showing up.
Yeah. Every summer it's really neat because we get a lot of interns from the labs who are still like who are off season for their collegiate teams, and they come and they just get so fit during the summer, and then they go back to school for the, you know, during the year, and they just crush cross country seasons. And it is so neat to see them all American and do all the things that they do because they put that in the work here. Yeah. And all we did was have fun. Like, it was not like they weren't, you know, being prescribed these ridiculous workouts that they dreaded. It was just like they were showing up to do runs with people and asking more of themselves, and it was fun.
And how do you figure out the workouts? Is there like an overall, like, do you guys have a workout schedule, or is it just you show up and whoever's doing similar things kind of gets together?
Yeah, everyone kind of meshes their own style, their own workouts together. There's a few coaches on the team that prescribe some things, and people will follow those or I'll kind of blend them a little bit, but it's kind of whatever you guys choose. So there's no official coach. Like, some clubs out there in the country do have an official coach, and you have to follow those workouts in order to be on the team. But we're more of a, we are a team, but we're also a group.
Yeah. And we're also like a very much so pick your poison kind of thing. We have a resource list for the team that has about five coaches that are vetted, and they have like the USATF level 1, 2, 3, whatever training under their belt. So they're qualified to coach, and they have athletes who have done really well underneath them. So we will refer to them, but we never will say you need to be coached by this person. And a lot of the times, because there are so many of us that are kind of on the same trajectory or have goals that are kind of in the same direction, we'll kind of come together and we'll start different group threads. So the Boston group thread, like there was, you know, how many of us? 8. So like on a weekly basis, the long runs will all be consistent, you know. So last year we had a huge group at Boston. CIM, we always have a big group at.
That extends even beyond our team, because we do have friends outside of New Mexico that are coaches. And so like Zach himself is coached by Nick Arcinaga, who lives in Flagstaff. And the community is pretty small and pretty tight. And so
Yeah.
Everyone's open to any type of workout or any coach. And so as long as you're willing to wear the jersey.
Yeah.
How often do you guys meet during, you know, regular times?
Non-COVID times, we meet Tuesdays, our Taco Tuesday run at High and Dry. Friday morning, Michael Thomas Coffee, 6 a.m. And then Saturday, we'll meet at the trail. We'll do a trail run. And then Sundays are always our long run days. So those are like the 4 guaranteed runs. During the week, sometimes the girls will have like a midweek trail run. And then there's also like groups of people either down kind of in the Knob Hill area and also in the Northeast Heights that will put together kind of Track Tuesday workouts where they'll meet at Academy or at Highland. So there's lots of different, you know, moving parts to it, but those are like our set in stone weekly runs. Now that we're in COVID times and we can't meet, but we're still wanting to connect, in lieu of our weekly runs, we have weekly Zoom calls. So whoever wants can just pop on and say hi. So we have like a 7 a.m. coffee with comrades, and then we have a Taco Tuesday evening kind of Zoom chat. And then one of our teammates is a wizard in all the ways, and he has orchestrated a Fight Club Jeopardy night for us. So we are all getting our booties handed to us by him and this weekly Fight Club Jeopardy that he started for us, which has been a lot of fun for us to kind of nerd out together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite group run spot?
I like meeting in the foothills.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting a good trail run.
I
Just
think, yeah.
the guys just banter, and it's just if you really want to push it, you can take off and just hammer the hills, but if you want to just banter with the rest of the pack, you kind of can.
Yeah. I think my favorite run spot is anytime that we have a lot of the girls are trail runners and they are fierce. And when they throw out like a curveball of like, let's go to Santa Fe and do this random loop that I found. And then we end up getting lost and it's so fun and we get caught in the rain or something ridiculous. Those are my favorite runs just because we get lost and we're doing what we love. And if we're lucky enough, we stumble across a professional, like world-renowned photographer who offers to take our picture in the mountain, which has happened. And then we have just some really great memories. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm following you guys on Instagram, and a lot of those throwback Thursdays or throwback whatever day, because it's just trying to keep things out there. And it's been really cool to see, those groups together on those different days doing just getting together and having fun.
Yeah. We definitely love our pre-wedding shakeouts. That's a big important run for all of us on our big days. Yeah. If someone moves, you'll see there's or gets married on the day of their marriage, we'll enforce a awkward touch the person picture. So you'll see everyone touching the person before they move or when they get married, and everyone's always a little uncomfortable with it, but I'm like, trust me, it's gonna be okay. Anything that I can do to like bring them together and what I call friend trap, I'm happy.
You talked about the Zoom calls and the Jeopardy Fight Club, and I mentioned what you're posting on Instagram. What else are you doing to keep the group motivated while everybody's separated right now?
I
I don't
mean,
think it's very hard. Like, we don't really have to
yeah, we
do a whole
don't.
lot. Everyone's pretty self-motivated as it is. We just say hi, or just again banter with each other, just to acknowledge that everyone's still alive, and hopefully we'll meet up pretty soon, sooner than later.
Yeah, we have a book club that we've got going on right now too. And then the girls have been kicking around an idea of doing a mile time trial. I threw out the idea that I was half curious, half regretting my curiosity, and the girls were game. So next week, I think we'll all do our own mile time trial and post it up to just see kind of where we're at and have fun with it. But yeah, we're just kind of challenging each other to take on different routes that maybe we've never done before. I know a handful of the girls are still in the throes of 100-mile ultra training right now, so they're just putting their head down and getting the work done.
What book are you guys reading in the book club right now?
It is the end of the world run. Well, I'm saying this wrong. I'll tell you right now.
I ordered it and still waiting on it, so that's not, I haven't even started.
I'll tell you right now.
It's like runners only.
End of the world book club or something. It is the End of the World Running Club.
Interesting.
Yeah. They Chris, who is also in charge of our Jeopardy, thought that this would be a fitting book to read at this point. So he suggested that, yeah, we pick different books, and so that's where we're at right now.
You talked about the mile time trial. It's interesting. I was actually thinking about something like that recently because Sidious podcast, Sidious magazine, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, it's okay.
They were talking a couple of weeks ago on their podcast about a bringing back the Blue Jeans Mile.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they were going to offer, I think, like $1,000 to whoever could break 4 minutes in that, which is insane.
Yeah,
that would be insane.
yeah.
But I thought it would be fun to do something like that, because to try to break 4 minutes in at elevation, in blue jeans is even, I don't want to say impossible, but practically impossible. Yeah. But I think it would be fun to do something like that here and do a blue jeans time trial mile and just throw it out there, see who gets it. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and just share your pictures. I mean, I think it gives people a chuckle and it kind of gets their brain thinking like, I wonder if I could do something like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
The team's also been taking part in Dr. Flagg's Running Medicine's virtual runs. We hosted our own virtual run last weekend and about on Saturday, and I think collectively ran almost 400 miles, which was great. But we've been adding in our miles for the Running Medicine movement and community kind of initiative that they've got going on right now, and definitely supporting them on that because we just really believe in the mission of what they're doing. It's important.
Right. And I think their mission definitely vibes with yours about community and unity and bringing people together.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Flagg he's an OG Duke, so we're all cut from the same cloth.
You know, and speaking about that, the digital runs and social media, you guys were doing giveaways there for a while. I think it was 10 or 12 days of giveaways. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you come up with that idea? How did you find the sponsors? I know you mentioned some of them already, Heart and Soul, you already have a good relationship with, but how did that come about?
Well, again, it just goes back to kind of my mindset on, you know, having reciprocal relationships. The businesses that we featured on there on the giveaway are supporters of us throughout the year, and this was a time for us to step up and support in a way that we could. So we just created a little budget within the team and purchased all of the cards. Many of the businesses, when I called to ask if we could do that, wanted to give me the product, and I'm like, no, this is us doing our part to support you. So really, it just came down to the people who have been supportive of us and who continue to like fuel our dreams in various ways, a way to say thank you to them and support their business and remind people that, you know, these businesses, we want them to be open when we come out the other end of COVID. So, you know, here's a reason to go in, or here's a reminder to go in. So all of the businesses that we featured throughout that time were businesses that support us and we have a relationship with from a team perspective.
Like you said, it just goes back to everything you guys stand for. And I think you guys have really built up something good, and it's, you know, a big reason why I wanted to get you guys on. So thank you guys for doing that and supporting people around here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate us. It. It's been fun to get to know you virtually. I look forward to getting in some miles with you and your little when we can see each other in real life.
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are both doing different types of work yourselves. How does running help keep you balanced?
Oh, running, I mean, it's kind of been a lifestyle for ever that I can think of. So it's like that treat at the end of the day, or it's a good motivator at the beginning of the day. So it's something I always enjoy having, and without it, it'd probably throw off my balance throughout work and throughout life. So it's kind of a necessity, I think, to have. Mm-hmm. And even if there's like a day or two off, that's fine. It's not like an addiction, I feel, but it is something that I can always look forward to, especially when and if I've ever been injured, which has been quite often. So when that happens, and a lot of runners have been injured, and so the time that you are healthy, it's always grateful to have that. And so I kind of look at it as a way to keep my life balanced, always moving forward.
Yeah. I think for me, it's kind of like it's the homeostasis to my being, and also like ensures that I'm the best version of myself. I mean, for both of us. When we're running, we're both better off. When one of us isn't running, it can be a little rough, but yeah, and at the end of the day, it grounds me and helps me kind of process what I'm going through, and I'm better for it always after I've done it.
Was there any race that you were looking forward to this year, either that you were going to participate in or cheer for one of the other Dukes?
Yeah, this year I had a few like benchmarks I wanted. Boston was on the list, which is postponed, so that's okay. And I also wanted to take on a 100-miler this year, so that might happen because it's going to be later in the year. So those are the two benchmarks. And then with Boston, it's not just running in itself, but also with the whole team, because a lot of members of the team go. So it's always a great experience to share that with multitude of team members. So those experiences are like priceless. So
yeah, I didn't have any early on, but I'm hopeful that CIM is still going to happen. So we'll see.
I guess my last question then is, what's your go-to songs right now, each of you, to keep you motivated or get you out the door?
Oh, I really like Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. Especially since he always talks about like an empty road, and that's kind of like how, well, not in Albuquerque, but I know a lot of major cities are empty. And the tune is just so 80s throwback. It's kind of catchy, and it's just, I don't know, I like it.
It's funny that you ask, because I just sent out an email to the team asking for their song right now that's getting them out the door, because I'm going to do a whole blog post on it. Yeah. Mine right now is RuPaul, Sissy That Walk. I just love the beat, and it's just like, I just love Ru.
As long as it gets you moving, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That's completely awesome. You know, I think that's all I have for you guys. Is there anything else you want to say before we say goodbye?
No, I don't think so. I think for me, my number one question is, how can we support you and what you're doing right now, and share your information with the community to kind of have a better understanding of what it is that you're doing and how you're trying to, like, you know, really highlight the running community as a whole?
First of all, thank you. I mean, that's awesome. And again, fits in with everything you've been saying. You know, it's just continuing to share the post, share these stories of everybody around us, because that's the whole idea behind this, is to get these stories out of all these amazing runners in New Mexico, because we've had a deep history of different people. You know, I've had on people who have qualified for the trials this year, Ben Fletcher, who does Timing Productions. I had on Susan V. Hill McEachin, who ran for UNM in the late 70s, early 80s, who, I mean, was just a beast at that time. And I just want to continue to share these stories. So really, just sharing the podcast, getting those stories out there, and sending me ideas of people who should be interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can certainly handle that. I've got like a list of 10 right now, so I'll message them to you when we're done. Cool. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. This has been an honor and such a privilege. We appreciate your time and just the opportunity to talk about our run family with the masses, because not a lot of people get to hear the story of inception and you know, where we're headed and where we've been. And so we appreciate the opportunity to share a story. And I should give a shout out, just because this is like, it's been happening more and more, but there's more of a presence in Cruces. We've got like a small army of Dukes forming. So shout out to our Cruces Dukes. Woohoo! and yeah, so thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out, or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.